If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Soup.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, nice to have you along. Good little Monday. Good little Monday. A little announcement earlier today on our show.
Good little announcement. For once, we actually teased something and it lived up to the billing.
Did it?
Yes.
Well, a lot of listeners.
This is a big deal.
A lot of listeners are saying.
Oh, stop it.
That this is not, we were already on the FM, so it's like,
Here's the situation.
We don't care that you're going to 105.1, which that's the big announcement. We're going to 105.1 beginning tomorrow on the FM. But I think the bigger thing to fan listeners was that the lineup change starts tomorrow.
Yes.
And that, so they felt like we buried the lead a little bit. But in inside baseball terms, like, here in the building.
Yeah.
The much bigger news is that we have overtaken and swallowed up Bella.
Yes.
That's a win for sports.
This is a monster day for the fan. I mean, the future of sports radio is on FM, and we've been fighting for 12 years to get over there. So the fact that we've been able to do that, anyone that doesn't think this is a big deal, bite me. This is a big deal.
Sook says to bite him.
Yes. Although not literally, because, you know, I don't want to get bit. I think that would hurt, but, you know.
So, starts tomorrow at 6 with Dirt and Sprague. It's going to be great. And the feedback from the pissed off Bella listeners is going to be even better.
Yes,
and I want a running, we need in this studio somewhere, somehow, to have a running sort of, do they have a text line over there?
I would hope so. It's got to be some sort of whiner line over there.
Maybe we tap into that.
People are going to get pissed.
I want the running dialogue during our show.
Yeah, so if your wife out there listens to Bella and she comes home and is super pissed, please let us know. I want all of that hate. It's going to keep me warm in the wintertime.
Do you think the sports bra's gunning for us now?
Oh, yeah, we took out Bella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They may like Bella over there.
I don't know how that works.
All right.
Still haven't been invited out to the sports bra. I'm waiting.
Memphis. It's in Tennessee.
It is in Tennessee. Been many a time. Two separate bowl games in Memphis, Tennessee. And believe me, good part of Memphis, bad part of Memphis.
Well, I'm speaking of the university.
Yeah. I practiced at the University of Memphis. And let me tell you, back then, not so great.
They're in the news today because it has come out that they have proposed a lucrative offer to join the Big 12. So no longer are the conferences trying to lure in different schools. Yeah. The schools are begging to be in the conferences.
Which is interesting because Memphis was courted by all of the group of, I guess now is it group of five, group of six, whatever the hell you're calling that. You know, the Mountain West, the Pac-12. And they don't want that. They're trying to buy their way into the lesser of the Big Four, but it's still a member of the Big Four.
Yeah, so the proposal is one of the most aggressive membership propositions in college athletics history.
Yeah.
And it featured hundreds of millions of dollars in sponsorship commitments to the Big 12 from Memphis-affiliated corporate partners, as well as the school eschewing revenue distribution from the league for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
So it was basically $500 million worth of stuff.
Yeah, and so they were saying, like, hey, all right, we partner with FedEx, right? FedEx is a Memphis company. They're big. FedEx is going to dump a bunch of money into the Big 12. So it wasn't like Memphis saying, hey, we're going to give you.
Because they couldn't afford that.
But they're saying the people that partner with us, we guarantee you. And I wonder, by the way, how much of that is, can you really guarantee that? Because, you know, it would seem to make sense that if someone is talking about bringing in $500 million to the Big 12, you would think that the Big 12 would be open to that. It makes me wonder how concrete some of those promises are.
Well, I think they were open to it. It sounds like they don't have the votes. One of the Big 12 administrators said, we vetted Memphis when we added the other four and chose not to add them. What's changed now? Well, what's changed now is they're offering you something.
Yes.
And by the way, they're offering you 5 years without any payouts.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems to me like, I don't know. That seems to be a good deal. It's not like it's It's not like it's Sac State trying to get into your league.
Yeah, Memphis is
Is all right.
Yeah, and Memphis has had success on
good program
in both basketball and football. And let's also not pretend the Big 12 is necessarily a powerhouse. I mean, when you look at their what's an anchor program in the Big 12? I mean, you don't.
What
have
is the anchor program?
I mean, it depends. You're talking basketball. You're talking
football.
Football. I mean,
is it?
Do you say it's Utah? Do you say it's Texas Tech? Do you say it's BYU?
I don't think of it as a. This is weird. This is just my opinion, but I just feel like the new schools that can't be the anchor program. Like Utah may be the best program.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's the anchor program because I don't associate Utah with. Still weird that Utah is in the Big 12. I would say the one left that's old Big 12. That maybe is an anchor is Oklahoma State.
I guess, but Oklahoma State really hasn't done anything other than be a solid program. TCU played for a national championship, but TCU certainly doesn't feel like any sort of anchor
K-State?
That you're holding on to.
Kansas?
It's my point. To me, when you're talking about adding a Memphis to it, I don't think that Memphis waters anything down. How about that?
I don't either.
You know.
But they don't.
They
don't like this deal.
They're not interested. Which again, I wonder if Memphis came to you and said, "Hey, we're not taking any money, and we're personally writing you checks." Does that do it, or is it just one of those where you're like, "Dude, not interested"? I'll be interested to see where this goes because SMU. Now I get it. SMU is different than Memphis. But SMU basically went to the ACC and said, please let us in. And they didn't offer $500 million in sponsorship. They just said, let us in and we won't take any money. And I don't remember for how long, but it was a couple $100 million over the course of, I want to say it was through the length of this deal, which was like an extra like 8 years. And they said, no, we don't need any. And it was good enough to get SMU in. Now I get SMU's got big money. SMU's in Dallas. But you know, that's the ACC. This is the Big 12. You would think that maybe that there would have been more interest there. I'm surprised that the Big 12 wasn't interested.
Well, they are interested. It says that the proposal was attractive enough to garner weeks of exploration from the conference. It comes at a financially stressful time as Big 12 leaders work to compete against the Big 10 and the SEC. Memphis' proposal is described as a no-risk concept. According to some in the Big 12, and it also sets a standard of expansion fees to enter a league. The school would take zero distribution for the final 5 years of the league's new TV deal with ESPN and Fox, add the sponsorships in excess of $150 million over 5 years, and subject itself to expulsion after the 2031 season if the Big 12 deems it not added value. That's crazy.
Is this possible that this smacks of like, you're at the bar... You know, it's a little late.
Here comes the hot analogy.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of an act of desperation. It's like, hey,
we've all been there.
I know you don't really want me.
Hello there.
It's called the Thursday night girlfriend because you wouldn't want her on the weekends, but you know, it's Thursday night, and it just seems very a desperate attempt. And maybe people in the Big 12 are just sitting there and being like, dude, if you're this desperate, what really do you bring to the table? Certainly, from a media standpoint, it's not going to increase the TV payout for the Big 12. And so you're sitting there and saying, okay, for 5 years, it doesn't cost us anything. After that, though, we do have to split the pie with you. Or we kick you out. I don't know. I guess I can see from the Big 12's perspective that this really doesn't add anything. So if it doesn't add anything, why do it?
I guess... I just don't understand how you could say that it doesn't add anything when they're giving you $150 million of advertising revenue over 5 years, and they're saying we won't take any of your revenue. I mean, like what? Like not giving you anything. I don't know. If I'm Memphis, they do seem desperate, but at the same time, I get why that would be a good deal for them to eventually get into the Big 12, and in the long run, they'd be better off for it.
And that's why I wonder, like, I mean, you can say that we're guaranteeing you this money with sponsorship dollars, but is that signed, sealed, and delivered? Because, again, these are all reports. I saw this from Yahoo.
FedEx, Lowe's, and AutoZone.
So it's...
We're the three big. They were the three big companies that are partners with Memphis.
And they're saying guaranteed that's going in. And I'd be interested to know where does that... Because that says it goes into the Big 12 coffers, but does it go into each individual schools? You know what I mean? Like... If I vote to let you in, eventually I have to split the pie with you, right? This is always why there's not just these giant expanses, because most schools don't bring in, because what's the payout in the Big 12? 30-ish million. So down the road, you do have to split the pie another way, and it's 30 million off the books. And so you can say, hey, we're bringing in $150 million in revenue from AutoZone and FedEx and what was the other one?
What did I say?
You knew FedEx because that was the big Memphis one, AutoZone.
Lowe's,
right? So you say you're bringing in these sponsorship dollars. Does that go directly into each school's pocket? Does it go into a bigger coffer that the Big 12?
That's probably the holdup.
Maybe it's one of those things where the school is being like, okay, well, when do I see,
right,
for letting you in, what do I get out of it? Because at the end of the day, these schools are selfish, and it really about, and you need the vote. So for Oklahoma State to look at that and be like, all right, of this $150 million, how much do I see? And
at the least, it increases their revenue. So it would increase Oklahoma State's cut by, I don't know, how many are in the Big 12? Do they actually have 12?
Yeah, they have 12, right?
Yeah, so you would add a 13th. So, it tangibly increases the amount in Oklahoma State's pocket or whoever votes against it. But maybe you're right that the holdup is, well, how set in stone is that?
Yeah.
What if it's the economy takes a downturn and FedEx pulls their money? You know, the devil's always in the details.
By the way, they have 16 teams, so this would be 17.
Whoa. God. I love how the Big 12 has 16.
16.
The Big Ten has about 30. The SEC has
20. We already have super conferences.
And what's the other one? How many does the ACC have these days?
I think they have ACC teams number. I think they have around that same 18.
They have 18.
They have 18. And then 19 if you give them a de facto Notre Dame that plays half of an ACC schedule.
Wow. What's the smallest league?
Probably the Big 12.
So they all have...
So the Big 10 has 18.
The Big 12 has 16.
Yeah, so I think 16 is probably the least.
That's the smallest.
That's the smallest.
God. All right, kids. We're ready for Stockwatch. What we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports next on The Fan.
It's primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
Okay, it's time for Stockwatch, which is prepared by none other than Ryan James Buckley.
No, close.
Ryan Jim Buckley.
Starts with a P.
Ryan Patrick Buckley.
There it is.
Buckley. Yeah, up a Buttley?
That was the old elementary school dig.
Oh, Buttley?
Yeah, Buttley.
It's a Buttley.
Yeah. It got a little more off color going through middle school and high school.
I can imagine. See that,
yeah.
But let's get
with
on to
the
Stockwatch.
Word, you know?
Yeah, that's right. We had the Open Championship dominated by Scottie Scheffler. Obviously, a lot was made about his comments earlier in the week and how much golf mattered. I thought Jordan Spieth summed up Scottie nicely. Here's what he had to say.
He doesn't care to be a superstar. He's not transcending the game like Tiger did. He's not bringing it to non-golf audience necessarily. He doesn't want to go do, you know, the stuff that, you know, a lot of us go do corporately, anything like that. He just wants to get away from the game and separate the two, because I know that he, you know, at one time felt it was too much. He was taking it with him. And, you know, whenever he made that switch, I don't know when it was, but, you know, he has hobbies, you know, he's always with his family. You know, they're always doing stuff. So I think it's more so the difference in personality from any other superstar that you've seen in the modern era and maybe any sport. I don't think anybody's like him. He doesn't care to be a superstar.
That was a repeat. But buy or sell that what makes Scottie boring is also what makes Scottie great.
Sure, I'll buy into that. I mean, obviously, whatever he's doing is working. And, you know, yeah, it does feel very robotic, but he's able to compartmentalize. And I don't know how you could argue any other way that approach that he takes helps him to be great. The question becomes, can he stay on top? Eventually does this lead to him not willing to put in the work, especially as the kids get older and more things become important? We know that he's not obsessed with the game, and whether we like it or not, the people that are obsessed with the sport are usually the ones that change the sport. So we've seen runs of greatness like this since Tiger. We've never seen anyone with a sustained success. So that to me is the bigger question, is does this mentality, which helps him be great, can he sustain it for the next 10 years?
So the idea is that, like Spieth was talking there about, Scotty's just kind of not really playing the game.
He doesn't care to be a star. He's not interested in transcending the game. He's not interested in chasing the corporate money.
He just kind of goes about it. He is only Nike.
Yeah.
I mean, all of his gear is just Nike.
I think Nike and TaylorMade are the only two real sponsors that he has.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think that certainly is part of why he's able to focus on golf and certainly helps him win. I would say yes, I would buy that. I just think what a more interesting question would be, because there's always copycats. Anytime somebody, like Tiger, not everybody can be Tiger Woods, sure. But one of the things that Tiger ushered in was the more, the fitness aspect of, it brought it into the game of golf more. And I wonder if Scotty is now, because you get the copycats who are like, oh, I want to be like Scotty, like Hao Tung Lee playing with him saying, hey, I want to suckle at your teat. Yeah. You wonder if Scotty keeps doing this, if that creates more guys.
Hey, do you want a dad bod and go to church and hang out with your kids?
No, I'm just saying, like, creates more guys that don't really participate with the stuff that the tour wants them to.
Although, I'll tell you what, that's a bold thing to do, because you can make a lot of money doing that and not have the pressure of having to win.
Yeah.
Scotty is unique, saying, you know what, I'll take care of my business on the course and not worry about the others. Whereas for a lot of these other guys, they make as much, if not more, money, and it kind of takes the pressure off of having to perform.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood's never won a golf tournament.
Yeah.
And he, I think I saw that he made $30 million last year.
Yeah, it's not a bad...
Or maybe it's overall. I don't know.
I think that's like, career. But yeah,
career, not last year. But that's a pretty good little life.
Pretty good.
But I think when you're wired like Scotty, I think there are some people that care about winning and only winning.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's one of them.
Yeah.
Tiger was certainly that. Tiger, all he cared about was chasing Jack. And then there are other guys, and this is the vast majority of them, that are just out there to make a living. They happen to be pretty good at golf, and they want to capitalize on it. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I just feel like the next... next guys that are maybe wired more like Scotty, I wonder if they'll take a page out of his book and be a little bit more aloof.
I've seen a couple of these, and it's a great comparison. Is he's the Tim Duncan of the golf world. He's not LeBron. He's not Steph. He's not MJ. He's Tim Duncan, and there's nothing wrong with being Tim Duncan, but most people don't want to be no one grows up being like, man, you know what I'm going to be? The boring-ass big fundamental.
That bank shot, dude.
Yeah. No one wanted to grow up and be Tim Duncan.
Do you think the kids listening right now have any idea what we're talking about?
No. No.
The big fundamental.
Tracy McGrady is more famous than Tim Duncan.
It's true.
Probably true. Let's move on to the exhibition of the weekend, the WNBA All-Star Game.
That's time.
All right.
Where the ladies came out to the court with pay us what you owe us t-shirts.
Oh.
That's the only thing anyone paid any attention to.
Well, there was one more thing people paid attention to, because somehow, even in the exhibition, Caitlin Clark is still catching shade. This was Kelsey Plum after the game.
Kelsey.
That was a very powerful moment. We didn't. At least as players, we didn't know that was going to happen. So I think it was kind of like a genuine surprise. But the T-shirt, just United Front, was determined this morning that we had a meeting for. And, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But, no, we were just we had a very...
that really needed to be mentioned.
I'm trying to make a situation light, okay? But I think it was just all of us getting on the same page for the game. We wanted to do something that was just united and collective, and I thought that it was a very powerful moment and got the point across, and, sometimes you don't have to say anything.
I remain confused on this. I get their whole crusade to try to get more money. People have pointed out that from a percentage standpoint, they get far less than the men. It's not just about the money the league brings in. But I found it fascinating that even in this moment when you're pining for this, you go out of your way to take a dig at the face of the league.
It's kind of unbelievable that that league can't figure this out.
So here's my buy or sell. Buy or sell, there is something else about Caitlin Clark that makes her in some way unsavory other than just the jealousy and envy of her popularity. Because I can't figure it out.
No, I think it is the... Well, for some people it's race, and for other people it's just jealousy, and it feels like maybe a stepping stone, and that there's a lot of people that felt like they laid groundwork for 20 years that never got any attention, and here comes a girl that did nothing. I mean, it's like, remember when Kobe Bryant made the All-Star game and no one would pass him the ball, they iced him out? It's the same sort of thing. I would hope as this goes on that some of this stops. And I'm not saying she's the only reason, but like they've done studies. She's responsible for like 30% of the added revenue that that league is getting. She's the reason why they have private planes.
They just got a new $200 million media deal, mostly because of her.
So, you know, and when she's not there, people don't pay attention. So I hope they figure out that that's not a wise idea to keep kicking that can down the road. And I hope that this doesn't backfire because the pay us what you owe us shirt. Look, I'll never fault anyone for trying to get more money, right? Everyone does it. There's not a time where your job, if you have a contract, whether that's a union job or whether you're working in radio or whatever, where you don't try to get more money. So God bless them. They're having a moment right now and people are paying attention and women's sports are growing. So you get what you can when you can. But this didn't go over well with a lot of people because that league has never made dollar one. And I know there's more to it than that. But this has become a bit of a polarizing issue. And if they get locked out, and it feels like they're on their way to getting locked out,
Angel Reese is already saying, you watch us, we won't play.
I just hope that you aren't taking the one good piece of press. And I'm not saying Caitlin Clark, you are on a heater for the last year and a half. And it's the first time in 20 plus years that anyone has paid attention to this league. And now you're going to basically stop playing. I hope they know what they're doing because it would stink to see all of this positive momentum ripped away.
What do they want?
So they get 9% of the revenue.
They just want a higher percentage? They
NBA players get like 50%.
50 or 51 in most leagues.
But you, like you said,
they
don't make any money. There's a big difference there.
I understand. So basically they're saying that the growth of the game and the valuations and all that, you need to pay us for what we're going to do. And not what we've done. And it doesn't matter that the league doesn't make money because we're still the ones that are putting the product on the floor and we're the ones growing the game. And you can debate that all you want. And people have already gone back and looked at what the NBA, because the NBA didn't start turning a profit until the 80s either. And they didn't make a bunch of money. They didn't, you know, make like this little of the revenue. But you can go through and slice this a lot of different ways. But it really has become polarizing where a lot of people are saying this is a league that has lost hundreds of millions of dollars and has never once turned a profit, won't turn a profit this year. And a lot of people are saying that's not our fault. We're still the labor and we're growing the game and it's more popular than ever. Therefore, you need to pay us a bigger percentage. So, and they're saying, and supposedly they're not asking for 50% like the NBA.
What are they asking for?
That we don't know.
All right. Well, they'll negotiate it, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll get a bump, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, 9%?
Yeah. I'm guessing they're not going to sit at 9.
Yeah, exactly.
But my point is that if they play hardball, and let's say they want 35, and the owners are like, no, and they get locked out, this sport cannot afford a lockout.
Yeah, that would be bad.
And I think they're smart enough to realize that.
Yeah, but they'll figure it out.
I would think so.
Well, let's move on to off-season NFL football, where Jerry Jones was at the microphone today. He was asked about the Micah Parsons contract negotiations and offered this.
The other thing I would say is contracts are 4 or 5 years. Okay? There's a lot of water under the bridge if you step out there and do something in the first 2 or 3. You can get hit by a car. Seriously. And so there's a lot to look at over a lot of years that could make a big difference. Have you ever heard of any clubs committing to players and then they didn't pan out after they committed to them? We have.
They need to put him out to pasture.
So he was talking about Micah Parsons' contract negotiation.
Put him down.
Also
like
had,
Yeller?
Yes, put him down.
He also had a line in which he took a dig at how much money they were paying Dak Prescott right now.
Yep.
So this led J.J. Watt, non-Cowboy affiliated, to take to Twitter and say, anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously right before the season begins, you just got to do it. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. And that tweet was retweeted by none other than Micah Parsons himself.
Yeah.
Buy or sell, Jerry Jones at this point in his career is doing more damage to the Cowboys than good.
Yes, 100%. Jerry Jones, like I said, they need to maybe not put him out, get him a bunch of hookers and a bunch of whiskey and just stick him on an airplane and never let it land. Just one of those refuelable airplanes and they can just fly around Cowboy Stadium.
Air Force One.
Yeah, and just have him up there, because having him there, even though he supposedly he does not run the day-to-day operations, he still has a major influence.
His fingers are in the pot.
They are so ass backwards. Between them and the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm not certain which ownership, I guess not a group, but which ownership family is trying their best to sabotage their own team. But he is just, he's a fool. He's an absolute fool, because at the end, every time he does this, he still ends up paying them, and he ends up paying them more and just creating bad feelings and worse cap situations. He's just, he is an absolute buffoon at this point. And it's kind of sad to see.
Yeah, I would buy that, because look, it's one thing to negotiate and you know, have true feelings about some of your players or some of the money that they're making. It's another to just say it and create all this ill will.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one creating all the ill will within your like, you are hurting your own franchise by pissing off your players. It's one thing to think it. It's another to say it.
Yeah.
And he just, they need to just... I mean, I guess they can't stop him from going in front of a microphone, but he is, a lot of the friction in the drama in that franchise is created by him.
Someone once, I forget who it was, but it was a guy that had been covering the Cowboys for like 30 years, right? I'm trying to remember who it was. And someone asked him, because he mentioned how much Jerry Jones loves being Jerry Jones. And he said, and there was this idea that Jerry would do anything to win another Super Bowl, because it would validate him and not Jimmy Johnson. And the guy laughed at it, and he goes, no. He goes, if you could give Jerry Jones another Super Bowl, give him four, but Jerry Jones never got to spoke to the media again. He never got to do another interview. He goes, there's no way he would do it. He goes, as much as Jerry, quote, wants to win, Jerry wants to be Jerry more than that. And that's one of the problems. And that he just is so out of touch now that, you know, you don't get any of the good now with Jerry. You just get the bad.
Yeah, he's 82 now.
Yeah.
And he can't filter.
No.
It's unbelievable. All right.
Smiles and glory holes.
There's your Stock Watch. It's brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Call it. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is next, I have an update on Higgins and where Oregon ranks in schools. And it's a hint, not good. Here's Buck. I can't wait to lie. All right, welcome back. Isaac and Suk on Monday. That's what it is. Rich.
I love this song.
It's a great song.
Well, Boogie Nights is criminally underrated.
Isn't KC and the Sunshine Band criminally underrated? They're awesome. Maybe they're not underrated.
I think they're in a proper in a proper place. But this is just such a feel-good song, and it makes me think of the scene from Boogie Nights, the big montage, which if you haven't seen Boogie Nights, do yourself a favor. Go check out Chest Rockwell and Brock Landers, because that is just the cast of that. It just because of the material, it doesn't get the love, because you know it's about porn.
Don Cheadle, William H. Macy, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Who was Roller Girl?
Julianne Moore,
Burt Reynolds,
Heather Graham.
Yeah, I mean it just my gal was watching it for the first time like maybe 2-3 months ago. She goes, is this what you're always talking about? Because the scene of the Asian kid throwing the firecrackers. And I was like, yes, we need to watch this. And we watched it from the beginning. And like every 10 minutes, oh my God, they're in this? And I'm like, yes. And it just keeps getting better. It might be Burt Reynolds' finest role.
Hmm. Wow. The great Burt Reynolds?
The great Burt Reynolds.
No, the average one.
you want to take a shot of Burt Reynolds? We're going to fight, Buck.
I don't.
Them fighting words in this household.
July 21, 2025, time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Thank you. It's It's brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. If you're just tuning in, we had big local sports radio news today.
Not just little. No, no, no. Because we said good little announcement. No, this was a big little announcement. It's big.
The Fan.
Huge.
Beginning tomorrow at 6 a.m. is flipping over to 105.1 FM.
And we have a new lineup.
And we have a new lineup.
Yes.
Colin Cowherd is going away.
He gone.
Dirt and Sprague, 6 to 10. The Law Firm of Morang and Harris, 10 to 1. Ducks Insider, 1 to 2.
Joey Mack and then Luke Anderson.
Happy Hour with Luke Anderson, 2 to 3. And then Prime Time with just me, finally, 3 to 7.
Woo!
No, just kidding.
For all these years, I got the boot.
Big Sook and I and Buck, well, just keep the same old time slot.
Yeah, we're not the change.
That begins tomorrow. 105.1 The Fan, check it out.
Not happy because now we're the Fan Sports Network.
Yeah, we got a lot of
We got the Fan. We have 1080, which is staying put. If you like listening on 1080 the AM, you still can. It's there. We have 910, and then we still have the app. We don't get bumped anymore. No more early.
No more no-show Mondays. No more no-show Thursdays.
Oh, rats! The Seahawks have a Thursday night football game on week 7. We're out.
Nope. Tell you what. This deal sucks.
This deal does suck.
Yeah.
Why didn't they talk to us about this?
Dern Sprague have to work an extra hour, which somehow they wanted.
Yeah, what is that about?
And now we don't get the short shows?
I tell you what, we're burying the lead here. Why the hell did they agree to that?
I don't know. I think they're young enough where they're like, give me that extra hour.
Yeah, I got more to say.
They could have borrowed one from us.
Yeah, we'll give you one.
Take it. Here, you have it.
Would you have asked for it back?
No, they can have it.
They could have just taken it.
No, they can, yeah. We'd give it.
You said borrowed.
It's
a gift
to them.
Yeah,
what?
It's a gift.
Well, that starts tomorrow, 6 a.m. And I can't wait for all the hate from all the Bella listeners. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Cannot wait. What?
What?
Yeah, someone already said they were driving around and with their daughter. I think he said she was 8.
Yeah.
And she heard the news and she said she was pissed. I guess she's a big Bella listener. And she said, I hate Isaac and Sue. And I told him, all right, that Sue's a real bitch. Tell her, tell your daughter I agree. I hate Sue.
Tell your daughter to lighten up.
She's going through some stuff right now. She'll go to Instagram and trash us, or maybe TikTok.
Go for it.
She's going to do a TikTok dance that's going to eviscerate you, Rob.
She can find her Bella's playlists on Spotify. It'll be fine.
Today is Take a Monkey to Lunch Day.
Gee, I wish.
Can you imagine? Like, how is that even a day? Take a monkey to lunch?
Where do I find a monkey? Dude, my life is...
Where do you find a lunch spot
that
takes a monkey?
How many individuals participate in that day?
Mm. Exactly. That's the dumbest
day yet. Does it apply to 12 people?
Yeah. Take a monkey to lunch? Here's another one. You know what else today is?
What?
Invite an alien to live with you day.
Like an elf situation?
I don't know.
I'd let an alien live with me. I'll tell you right now, I would be on board with both of these things. Take a monkey to lunch, yes. Alien lives with you? Alf, or what's the American Dad style? I'd let an alien. I got an extra room now. Iserman's moved out. I think it'd be kind of cool.
I did love Alf.
Yeah.
Alf was great.
But it was one of those hot aliens, like Kirk was always with. Then I have to explain it to the missus. I'm like, oh, honey, she's a fugitive. We have no choice. It's a different culture. Don't worry about it. It's fine. All the Star Trek aliens were just hot gals that were painted green. Somehow Kirk got with them all. He was the man.
Well, last week we talked about Higgins Restaurant possibly closing.
Yeah.
They announced that they may have to close, just a lack of business.
Well, the announcement was like, they said, unless something drastic happens, we're closing. Well, nothing drastic was going to happen.
Well, something drastic has happened. Greg Higgins, the co-owner and chef, has said that just from that posting... Mm-hmm. They have gone from 0 to 75 reservations in one day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He says
that to keep the doors open?
Well, he said it all changed July 12th when they announced on social media the restaurant was on the brink. He said, I got to say, wow, we're absolutely overwhelmed by this response. By that evening, a flood of customers began calling or booking online. He said, we went from 0 to 75 in one day. Higgins chef de cuisine Patrick Strong said the overwhelming response has been amazing. It was just confirmation that everyone loves this restaurant. It was very gratifying. Strong considers the crew at Higgins family. He's worked at the restaurant for more than 20 years. It does not say whether or not this is enough to keep it going, but, you know, people are...
I hope so.
People are helping out.
Well, that's like when...
It's a surge.
Well, because I don't go to Higgins, but it's a wonderful restaurant. But like when Slow Bar announced that they were closing, the first thing I did was go to Slow Bar for one last burger. Now, they didn't say, hey, save our bar.
This is the new thing. Announce your closing.
Yeah. Is this the best thing? It's just...
Hey, we're going off the air.
Tune in while you still can. This is the old bit, like, right? You just put the going out of business sign up, and you're like, oh, it's a big sale. Dude, you've been going out of business for like 14 years. Exactly. Well, I hope they make it, because I don't like when institutions close. So that's cool that they got the bump. Hopefully, you know, that can continue.
He said that they usually depend on the theater and museum crowd, but this summer has been rough in that regard. He did say that the current outpouring would need to continue into the fall to be able to make it to the theater season. He said, if we're waiting and thinking downtown is magically going to get better, we're fooling ourselves. Everyone needs to get engaged, and that's what Portland is really great at.
We had a good, I'm assuming by theater, I mean, are they talking about like the Broadway America?
Well, they're over there by, like, aren't they within walking distance of like the Schnitz?
Yeah, maybe that's, and, yeah, maybe that's different.
All that over there.
Yeah, because the Keller, you know, they had a nice little season over there.
It's a little far for a Keller walk, though.
Yeah, maybe that's it? So. Maybe they need more. Again, it's been so long since I've been to
Higgins. I gotta tell you, I have a buddy who lives downtown, and he said living downtown is great because you think everything is so far away, but it's not. He said living downtown, you are a 20-minute walk from everything.
Yeah,
and he means everything.
Yeah. Or you can scooter. Like me and my buddy, we scooter a bunch. Like here, like Timbers, like to the Timbers game. If you like. It's not a far walk from our station to there. You hop on a scooter, you're there in like 8 minutes.
Exactly. Coming up next, where does Oregon rank amongst states in schools?
Yeah, it's kind of smacked right in the middle. You can make that. That's
you can make it work.
Yeah, the Keller walk would not be hard.
20 minutes.
I don't even know about that.
We'll get to that next on The Fan. Hello. This is In the News for July 21, 2025 here on The Fan.
Why exactly did you do that?
Yeah.
That's some sort of Bubba Gump thing there?
I didn't like Forrest Gump.
No?
I mean, I did, but I don't know. People rave about it like it's some sort of...
Well, it did win the Academy Award, I believe, for Best
I don't think
Picture.
It should have.
And I think Tom won for Best Actor, which is a shame, because Saving Private Ryan is 10 times the movie and 10 times the performance from Tom Hanks. I'll tell you this. I don't know if Forrest has held up as well as some others.
Where does Oregon rank among best and worst school systems in the United States, you
ask? I'm guessing we're right near the bottom of that. Well, we're not Mississippi like Louisiana bad, but we're not good.
Well, Mississippi and Louisiana are better than Oregon.
Oh, really?
Yes, boy, on this list.
That's not...
Now, this is Wallet
that's
Hub.
Not good.
Wallet Hub, they have ranked 1 through 50 states in their schools, okay?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the... So this says, for the majority of U.S. families, public education is the only option. The quality of public school systems... varies widely from state to state, though, and is often a question of funding. Public elementary and secondary education money usually flows from three sources: the feds, the state, and the local governments. According to the U.S. Department of Education, states contribute nearly as much as local governments, while the federal government supplies the smallest share. Some researchers have found that the most resources or taxes paid by residents typically result in better school system performance. So, based on 32 key metrics...
Yeah.
They have compared the 50 states and the District of Columbia.
Well, I'm guessing this is where we really shine, because I have heard for years that we spend more money and get less than pretty much any state.
This accounts for performance, funding, safety, class size, and instructor credentials. Mm. And Oregon ranks
46th.
No, idiot. 47th.
Hey!
So you were wrong.
47?
Yeah. Not good.
With all the taxes we collect here?
Not good.
It's not 47?
Good. So 48th is Arizona, 49th is Alaska.
Huh.
50, Oklahoma, and 51, because remember, District Columbia is in there. New Mexico has the worst schools in the union.
A little surprised Arizona. Oklahoma doesn't shock me. I see that all the time. People love, because every time some senator from Oklahoma pops off about something, people love to point out just how piss poor. And Oklahoma, by the way, does poor in everything. Like, it's one of the worst states for any sort of social metric. But yeah, that's not good, man. 47.
And you mentioned, what'd you say, Louisiana and...
Louisiana and Mississippi are usually considered kind of bottom of the barrel type
Mississippi
stuff.
Ranks 40th and Louisiana 44th.
Yeah.
So not great.
No.
Your state of Washington...
Washington?
...is at 20.
Hey, look at us.
Right in between Vermont and Florida.
We're doing just fine.
Doing fine. The number one state...
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Number two, Connecticut. Three, New Jersey. Four, Virginia, and five, New Hampshire. I mean, an absolute Scotty Scheffler from the East Coast there when it comes to schools.
Why is it that we can't take best practices? Why can't you look at a state that does it right and be like, I don't know, maybe we try that?
Wisconsin is sixth, underrated.
Yeah, I never quite understand how some states can be so piss poor and others do well. And is there any effort? Like, if I was a state and I kept getting kicked in the teeth year after year after year, and some other state, well, like Washington State, right? We're right by each other, and it's doing so much better. You would think that maybe you would, like, you know, like in coaching terms, like you go spend the summer, like you learn how someone runs an offense, be like, hey, maybe we'll take some components of that. Maybe try that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to funding, but I may be mistaken.
That can't be, because we spend per capita, we're one of the top spenders in the state of Oregon, and we get piss poor results.
In the state of Oregon?
Yes. I think per capita.
You mean Oregon spends more than other states?
Yes. I think per child, if I'm not mistaken, they point this out a bunch. For what we spend per student, I think we get the worst result of any state, or damn near it. And by the way, this kind of tells you that. We're 47th out of 51, for God's sakes. And we spend plenty.
District of Columbia has the highest dropout rate. Math test scores, the lowest was New Mexico and Alaska.
Yeah.
Massachusetts is number one, boasting some of the best test scores in the country. They rank first in the nation in all core academic subjects, fourth and eighth grade math and reading scores. Students at the high school level do well in Massachusetts. They have the highest share of students in the country who receive a score of 3 or better on an AP exam. Bloop, 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 bloop,
bloop, bloop. I'm going to find the state. I'm going to find what we spend.
Yeah, Utah came in 11th. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
For you Utahians.
The two Utes.
Is that what they're called?
Utonians? By the way, that sounds weird. Like, Utonian sounds like some sort of weird...
Utahns? Utahnians?
Yeah, it sounds a little Scientology, which, you know, maybe the Mormon thing. I don't know. It's weird.
California, 30th.
So,
if you must know.
Well, everyone craps on California, and they're way 30th better. And way better than us?
Yeah, someone from Utah is a Utahn.
Utahn?
U-T-A-H-N. Utahn.
Utahn. Wow. Can't say I knew that. Ladies and gentlemen... Ladies and gentlemen, that is in the news for July 21, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at AdvocatesLaw.com.
Yeah, I was looking here. So per student, this is what, because, you know, obviously California has way more than we do. So California per, this is K through 12, California spends a little under $18,000 per child. Okay?
I got it.
State of Oregon. And they were at 30th.
Yep.
State of Oregon. Mm-hmm. We spend $19,500.
We spend more.
We spend more.
And get far less.
Far less. So what was, you said Utah, right?
Utah was 11th.
They spend $10,000 per kid.
Wow. What a mess.
And yeah, Massachusetts was number one.
Yeah.
So they spend 21 and a half.
So we spend almost as much as Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, yes.
And we're 47th and they're first.
Yes. So that's all I'm saying is we spend... Florida, by the way, 12 and a half. and they're better than us, like, significantly. So that's the part that's frustrating is everyone always says it's a funding problem, but we spend. And then that all we ever get told is, oh, we need more money. We need more money. You have money. You just do a piss poor job with
it. What about PERS? Do you think PERS has anything to do with this?
It's possible.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I
always hear about good old PERS.
Yeah.
Being a problem. Well, we're not going to solve it. I'll tell
no,
you that.
No, we are not.
Hey, bring back the Redskins, says no one except one guy.
Yeah.
And an old team gets even older. Those items coming up. Also, Damian Lillard is back. We will return with our 5 o'clock hour of radio broadcast next on The Fan.